Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Today we have the motocross preview, which I have been looking forward to so much. Last couple rounds of Supercross, usually I'll start looking forward to motocross a little bit, especially this year in the 250 West division, where it got wrapped up a little bit earlier than I was expecting. Well, maybe not expecting, but a little bit earlier than I was hoping for. But out of that 250 West division, we did have one big contender going into the motocross season that I don't think we will be seeing. We'll get to him in a little bit. So, to start off, one, I said last week I'd be pre-recording this episode, putting it out this week for you guys to hear, but that didn't really go to plan. Fell behind a little bit on my prep work for all this, so I'm sitting here on my honeymoon with a pretty good view of a pool and an ocean here in the Cayman Islands with the best wife ever sitting in bed right now letting me record this. So big shout out to her for letting me do this and chasing down what I want in life, which is calling dirt bike races for a living. So shout out to her for letting me do this on the honeymoon here late at night. But anyway, we will do the 250 guys obviously first, like we've been doing as long as this show has been going. So we got 250 guys. We'll break it down into top guys and then some others in both classes. And obviously we will make some championship predictions, which will probably be wrong based on everything I've picked ever since this show was started, except for Tom Vielle as the 250 East champion. I'm pretty sure I picked him at least as my 250 East champion. So, starting off, 250s. We're starting off hot. Hayden Deegan. He is the defending 250 champion and the 250 West Supercross champion this past year. I didn't think he'd be able to get it done in Supercross. I thought he would do something stupid and throw it away. But, hey, hand up. I was proven wrong. So, just took a quick look. I did predict Tom Vielle as my 250 East champion. So, I am officially 1 for probably 10 on my predictions. But anyway, Hayden Deegan, coming into this outdoor season, he has always looked a lot better outdoors. He looked that way in his, motocross combine, they call it, compared to the Supercross Futures, now the SMX Next, whatever. We'll forget all them stupid names. But he has always looked a little bit better outdoors than he has in Supercross. He can let that big Star Yamaha 250, he can let that sucker eat outdoors. I think all Star Yamahas have a big advantage when it comes to outdoors, just simply based on they're straight up faster than any other bike out there. And that definitely showed last year with him winning the championship last year by, 481 to 412 over the next guy we'll talk about, Tom Vielle. 481, 412 by, nice, 69 points. Hayden Deegan won last year by 69 points. He was easily the most consistent guy. He had 9 podiums, 5 overall wins. His worst was a 5th at Redbud. And his only other not podium was a 4th at Ironman, which he did clinch the 250 championship the week before Ironman. So there's a good chance he was probably saving himself a little bit for the SMX playoffs last year. But I think Hayden Deegan and the other Star Racing Yamaha rider we will talk about a little bit later, I think they come into motocross season a little bit better, a little bit more prepared, and a little bit beefier of a bike. They got a little bit more oomph in that sucker than what it seems like everybody else has. And so I think that really just gives all of the Star Racing Yamahas a very, very big advantage. And Deegan, he'll definitely be there when I get to the championship predictions. I won't say who it is, but he is definitely in the conversation for going back-to-back after, which would make it, what? He had motocross last year, he had SMX, he had supercross this year. I think there's a good chance Hayden Deegan goes 4 years, series, if you want to call it that. If you want to call the SMX a legitimate series, I still got my questions out there about SMX. I don't know if it's a really legit series or not, but I think he's got a good chance at going 4 series in a row, getting the number one plate out of all of those. So my next guy finished 2nd in the 250 points last year. That is the now 2-time Supercross champion, Tom Viel. When you look at Tom Viel, he has 2 MX2 championships, but he only has 2 wins outdoors overall. He had Southwick in 2023, where he went 1-1, and then last year he went 1-4 at Ironman, which, once again, Hayden Deegan already had the championship all wrapped up. So, not exactly sure how hard Deegan was pushing in that race in those two motos. But Tom Viel did come away with the overall in those. And I think you can take all of the claims that Tom Viel isn't used to how AMA does their practice qualifying races all in one day compared to the MXGP version, where it's qualifying in one day and then the next day they do their races. Like, you can take all that out, throw it all out the window going into this year, because Viel now has had 2 years over here, so he'll know the tracks better. He will be able to recognize what lines are breaking down over other lines and be able to be a little bit smarter. He has the championship mindset. We saw that in Supercross, where, to be honest, he kind of lucked into a championship, but he still got his championship, and he was able to pick his battles, I think is the best way to say it. He was able to figure out, I mean, you take away Foxborough for Supercross, he very consistent, I think is probably the best way to put it. I feel like most of the Frenchmen are. Marvin Mouskan was a lot of the same, very consistent, pretty much podium almost every weekend. And it seems like Tom Viel has been able to do much of the same. Now, not a super big surprise considering Marvin Musquin is Tom Vielle's coach, riding coach. I don't know how much they work together, but he is at least one of his coaches. And so I think the two-time Supercross champion will be much stronger this year going into outdoors, knowing it is his last 250 outdoors. With winning the Supercross, he's going to have to move up to the 450s next year. So I think we might see Tom Vielle maybe hang it out a little bit more. I think it will be tough on that KTM opposed to the Yamaha, where, like I mentioned earlier, Yamaha seems to have a little bit more of the power for them working for them on the power. But Tom Vielle, I definitely expect to see him. He will get two more wins. We'll throw it out there. Two more overall wins. I mean, in an 11-race series, I think Tom Vielle will definitely get two more overall wins and bump that 250 overall number to four instead of just two where he is at right now. Levi Kitchen, he finished last year in third. He came into last season after losing in tough fashion in a winner's take all type of deal in Supercross. Came in a real big threat to Hayden Deegan last year. I remember last year he had at Fox Raceway, he had a chance to win the overall there. He got one of them track markers stuck in his boot after, like I mentioned, losing the Supercross championship just 2 weeks before that in a winner's take all. He had a lot of weird stuff going on for Levi Kitchen last year. But this year, he's coming off injury, a big gnarly crash in Daytona. He has been on the bike for quite a while now. He did also, forgot to mention this at the beginning, wanted to mention this at the beginning of Levi Kitchen, but I forgot to, so we're going to mention it now. He did just sign a 2-year extension with the Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki team, so he will be with them for 2 more years. So he's got, doesn't have to worry about what his next job will be or anything. He will have plenty of stability, so doesn't have to worry about any of that. He has 3 career wins. Just 3 wins last year. He had Spring Creek, Unadilla, and Buds Creek. And I think one silver lining coming out of the injury that he had was he looked very fast last year. You know, he's always going to be very good at Washougal, his hometown. He also had a lot of time to get ready for this motocross season due to that injury he sustained at Daytona this past Supercross season. So every person right now that I'm talking about, I'm basically talking, I have my championship prediction written down, but everybody that I'm talking about right now, it seems like I'm talking myself more and more into them being the champion of this motocross season, and it is making it very difficult on my brain right now to be able to pick who I think will actually be the champion. So we'll just keep moving it along here. Julian Bilmaire, He got into it a little bit with Hayden Deegan in Supercross on that West Coast. He's going into his second full outdoor season. Last year, he finished 11th overall. His best was a 6th place. He did that 2 times at High Point and Buds Creek. Now, you would think, well, he finished last year 11th overall. How good could he truly be this year? Now, if you're just looking based on standings going from last year to this year in motocross, you would have thought the exact same thing going from last year's Supercross to this year's Supercross, where he took a big, big step. He's got Davey Millsaps in his corner now, who seems like he doesn't take no for an answer. He's been working with Julian big time, and that definitely helped a lot for his progression in Supercross. Now, Davey Millsaps, he did have that little breakout ride in, I think it was 2016, when he went out and won Anaheim 1. And that was really, or no, maybe it was 2018 when Jason Anderson won the championship, I think. So, anyway, Davey Millsaps, yes, kind of made his name in Supercross, but seems like he has worked a lot with Julian, has really made Julian Beaumaire, this is, has really made big strides in Supercross, and I definitely expect to see the same. You saw a little bit of fight in Julian Beaumaire when he went up and was giving Hayden Deegan the business there after Pittsburgh, I think it was. I definitely expect Julian Beaumaire to be one of the very top guys. I mean, he's in my top guys section for a reason. I think he can definitely go up there, contend for some moto wins. Will definitely get 3, 4, 5 podiums this year. I see no reason he'll slide below that. I think minimum Julian Beaumaire will have 3 podiums this motocross season. And I think he will take a very, very big step up compared to last year where he finished 11th overall. And now we will go back to the top a little bit from last year, where we meet our friend Chance Hymus. This past year, he got his first Supercross win. It was a mudder in Foxborough. He got that crazy mud race win where it was the East-West shootout. Last year, he got his first win in motocross at Red Bud, which I was at. Got denied a press pass for that one, but that's okay. We will try again this year, that is for sure. He also had 4 podiums last year, and it was his first full motocross season. First full motocross season last year. He had a couple races before that where he had to get taken out due to injury. So he had a couple races before last year, but last year was his first full one. He got his first podium at Thunder Valley last year. So I think if Chance Hymus can stay healthy. Stay out. Last year, he got drug into the drama, the little bit of Deegan drama, where Hymus dabbed his foot, jacked up his ACL, hit Deegan's front wheel. Deegan thought Hymus did it on purpose. I know I talked about it a lot last year, but I don't think Hymus would have done that on purpose, because why would you ever dab your foot and risk an injury just to throw it into another guy's front wheel, cause a big crash, chances of more people getting injured, not just yourself. But anyway, that was last year. So I think Hymus, he's the last guy on my top guys list for a reason. I think Deegan, VL, Kitchen, and Juju all have a lot better chance than Chance Hymus. So I don't think he is really an outsider looking in. I think he's more of an insider looking out on that championship bubble. That, I think the best way to put it, Chance Hymus, he can win the championship. I think he might need a little bit of luck, but still, he will be one of the top guys in the 250 class. And now we are going to the others, where we got some injury concerns. We got a little bit of uncertainty. And we'll start it off with Cole Davies, where at Salt Lake City, Jordan Smith landed on him. So Cole Davies is coming off injury with a broken nose and broken arm. At the time of this recording, there is no estimate timetable that I've seen out there for him. He's in the others simply based on how good he was in Supercross, how fast it seemed like he was able to adapt to different lines, and just the straight raw speed that this New Zealander had. Another big thing, I mentioned it with Deegan, he's on a Star Yamaha. You know they're almost always going to get a good start in motocross. Motocross starts are a little bit longer than Supercross starts, at least the first straightaway there. So when they get that horsepower hooked up, coming off the grate onto the deep dirt, almost always have the scoop tire on them. Wouldn't be surprised the first couple rounds we see 4-star racing Yamahas at the very front, and then 2, maybe 3 of them will slowly start to fade. The one not fading, I foresee, would be Deegan, and if Davies is there, I don't foresee him fading either. Joe Shimoda, he finished 6th last year. He's in my others because will he start the motocross season like he started the Supercross season, which would be with a win, and then going into the next race, he breaks 2 fingers. So he's in my others simply based on he didn't end the Supercross season very well, which typically he will end championships a lot better than he will start them. But I understand he had the broken fingers from the pit board and qualifying. So Joe Shimoda, simply my take on him, How are the fingers? That's all I need to know. And I could make my prediction right there. If the fingers are good, honestly, I think he'd finish probably about third in the championship. If the fingers are bad, I could see him finishing 8th, 9th in the championship. That's just how big of a swing I think Joe Shimoda is. Also, another thing, I haven't seen any news on his contract for 250s, or I know there's a chance of him going up to the 450 class next year. Honda, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to want to run a three-rider team on the 450s with the Lawrence boys and Shimoda? Are they holding out that third spot for Chance Hymus? Big decisions for people who are much smarter than me, and people who, at least I hope, are much smarter than me, because they got a lot bigger decisions to make than I do. One of my last guys here, Max Anstey, the ultimate journeyman, it seems like. He went from Europe to the States, back to the Europe, back to the States. I just said back to the Europe. I meant just Europe. He also suffered an injury, a broken fibula. He won't be there for the opener. But when he comes back, there is a very solid chance that Max Anstey could be running podium speed within probably 2-3 races. He finished 15th last year, and that's only after racing, I think he raced half the races last season. And now he's on Star Racing Yamaha, where, like I've mentioned, they have the ability to get the starts and run up front. Last year, he jumped on the bike late, on that Star Racing Yamaha bike late, and basically just jumped right into competition. So I foresee him being much, much better when he gets back. And now it is time for my 250 motocross prediction. I think it's going to be a blue bike. And with me saying that, I'm sure everybody listening knows exactly who it's going to be. I think we see Hayden Deegan going back to back 250 motocross champion. Probably the best way to put it, I'm not a fan of his, but he can go very fast on a dirt bike, especially outdoors, and it just seems where he just excels outdoors. He has, ever since he made his pro debut, he has excelled outdoors a lot better, or a lot more, than he has in Supercross. The only thing is the Air Bunnies here, the Supercross hangover. Winning that championship in Supercross, we saw it last year with Tom Vial not doing too hot after winning his Supercross championship. It's not every year where Supercross champions come in to motocross and not do too well, but there is still a chance that it happens. I think we can take that, get rid of it. I think Hayden Deegan will be our 250 motocross champion. So now moving on to the big guys, the 450 class, which I was excited to do the 250s. I think somehow I'm more excited to talk about the 450s because this is where things can get very interesting with all the guys that are coming back off of injury. I can't wait to see how this 450 season shakes out. So we'll start it off with our reigning champion, Chase Sexton, who, first off, supposedly he has signed a new deal already with Monster Energy Kawasaki. So we'll see how that goes. Seems like he is also a little bit better outdoors, where he can just take that raw speed that he had. I'll never forget in 2022, Chase Sexton, Eli Tomac, where it was just consistently, they would put 20, 30 seconds up to a minute sometimes in third place, with just them two running an absolutely insane pace out front. But it's 2025. It's a new Chase Sexton. He just lost the Supercross Championship by 2 points to Cooper Webb. He won 7 times last year. He won the overall. Which, thinking about it, is absolutely insane. Hangtown last year, he went 40th to first place in Moto number 2. He went 1-1 that day, and that just started an absolute tear for Chase Sexton. He won the last 6 overalls. His worst was in Thunder Valley, where he got a 5th. That was his only non-podium overall. So he figured something out on that KTM. I know going in Supercross last year, he struggled big time in the beginning. Seemed like he hated the bike. He wasn't getting along with the bike whatsoever. And then they go to outdoors, and it looked a little bit of the same. And then the big bad wolf of Jet Lawrence goes out, and it seemed like something just flipped in Sexton's head, where it was like, oh, okay, this is my championship now. And then he went out, and there were some races where it looked like even Jet Lawrence wouldn't have been able to beat Chase Sexton. So I think Sexton coming into this year, or this motocross season, with the number 1 overall plate, he can definitely go back-to-back, but he has a Jet Lawrence problem. It seems like whenever Jet Lawrence is lined up on that gate alongside Chase Sexton, it seems like it just gets in his head big time. And Chase can beat Jet. I believe it. The only problem is I'm not sure if Sexton can believe it. But I definitely think he's got a problem when he sees that 18 roll up to the gate beside him. 18, or sometimes it's a number 1. Yes, I get that. But I think he's got a Jet Lawrence problem. And if he can get that out of his head, he seems like a little bit of, oh man, I know one way to describe it, not sure if it's the best way. He seems like a little bit of a head case. There we go. That is probably the best way to describe Chase Sexton. I mean, I did it a couple weeks ago, maybe about a month ago on the podcast, saying Sexton seems like his Supercross seasons have seemed like early Eli Tomac, where he's good, he's fast, he wins all these races, but he has two, maybe three races where he just throws it away and he'll come in sixth or seventh, and that will cost him the championship. I think that only really happens for Sexton when, like I said, that big bad wolf of Jet Lawrence is out there. And that big bad wolf of Jet Lawrence, he's coming back in motocross. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Sexton will respond in his final motocross season on a KTM. Like I said, with him essentially already signing the deal with Monster Energy Kawasaki. Actually, I don't think I mentioned that, but he did. My second guy in my contenders is Hunter Lawrence. He's coming off another collarbone break. He has been on the bike for a while now. I think the best thing about Hunter Lawrence, he knows how to respond to injury, because, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. He's gotten hurt a lot, so he knows how to respond to it a lot. And last year in his rookie season, he had 9 podiums. His best was a 2nd place. His worst was a 4th place. And I think he might have been the best rookie out there if you take away his brother Jet or Dylan Ferrandis, who won the title, or Ryan Dungey, who also won the title. So I think Hunter Lawrence might have had the best rookie season ever, not winning the title. And I don't expect much less from him, to be honest. I think there's a good chance he's another top 3 finisher in the overall standings this year with how smart he is, how he took his time in 250s, Supercross and Motocross, both the same, where it seemed like year 1, year 2 were learning years, and then year 3, year 4 were his championship years. Well, it seemed like in year 1, he learned pretty darn quickly. And now we're going into year 2, where it could easily be a championship year for him as long as he can stay healthy, because that's been the Hunter Lawrence crutch. He's a little, hate to say it, he's a little injury prone. And if he can keep that bike on 2 wheels, there is a very, very good chance he can go out there and win the championship. My next guy finished 9th overall last year. That is, of course, Hunter's brother, Jet Lawrence, where we're going to keep all of the... We're going to focus on racing in this because we don't know everything. So we're going to keep all of the non-racing old Jet Lawrence, well, young child Jet Lawrence stuff out of this. We're just going to focus on racing. So his rookie year, he goes 22-0, opens up last year, goes 1-1, goes 24-0. So he's got the perfect season, And then with his 24-0, he ties for the old perfect season where it used to be 24 motos. And then he had a big crash at Hangtown. Kind of messed him up a little bit. He only had 5 races last year. But the big thing with Jet is he tore his Achilles April 17th. And we are now sitting here May 21st, just a couple days out of the opening round. And that torn Achilles will just, it's been stuck in the back of my mind. Mainly because of Eli Tomac, the last big name rider essentially to tear his Achilles, come back, or rupture his Achilles. It's the same difference. Come back. Tomac didn't look like himself his first couple races back. And so now I'm just wondering, will Jet Lawrence look like his self as soon as the gate drops round one at Fox Raceway? Because last year, coming off of injury, he looked a lot like himself in the SMX playoffs at round one. And just, will he be able to figure it all out very soon? He's been on the bike for a while. I think there's a good chance if this Supercross season went maybe 2 more weeks, I think we would have seen Jet Lawrence out there at least just to get gate drops. Maybe not worry about the win, podiums, any of that. I think we would have seen him out there for gate drops at least. But can he figure out the best way to bounce back? Because like I said, Eli Tomac kind of struggled a little bit coming back from his ruptured Achilles. I don't foresee Jet Lawrence having the same problem. And as I when I was talking about Chase Sexton, it's kind of messing with my head a little bit on my championship prediction. Might be a little foreshadowing there. And as I'm talking about Jet Lawrence, it's kind of messing with my head a little bit on my championship prediction. So I'm not 100% certain on what I wrote down here for the 450s. So my next guy, I just mentioned him a little bit with Jet Lawrence, Eli Tomac. He only had 2 races last year. Only 5 Supercross races this year. He broke his leg in Tampa. Still raced. Absolutely wild that he broke his leg in qualifying. Was still able to race. I heard he had some more pain than he was expecting when he first got on the bike. Now Eli Tomac, he's a guy, he keeps his cards close to his vest. So he's not always going to let you know what's going on. But I have heard absolutely nothing from Eli Tomac. I haven't seen any videos of him riding. I don't know if I'm just blind. I don't know what is going on with Tomac. I know he's sitting out there probably in Colorado somewhere, just waiting for Saturday. Or he can go out there and just go old former beast mode on everybody. I mean, he's in my top guys contender category for a reason. Like I mentioned, 2022, him and Chase Sexton, they would put 30, 40 seconds a minute on third place. That guy is still in Eli Tomac. Probably the latest thing I ever heard on Eli Tomac was This broken leg has fueled him even more, and he's not done after this year. So he's going to be back next year, maybe on a KTM, maybe on a Ducati, but Eli Tomac will be back next year. I think he will be back with a vengeance in this outdoor season. There's a very good chance Eli Tomac can go out there. He can win 3 overalls. His big crutch, it's been Thunder Valley. It's been Colorado in general, if you think about it, with his injuries in Denver and Supercross that he's had. Blowing both shoulders at Thunder Valley. He's had issues in Colorado. If he can get through Colorado, I think Eli Tomac will be okay. My next guy in the contenders, kind of like in the 250s, where I don't think he's outside looking in. I think he's inside on the edge. Aaron Plessinger. He got third place last year. He started to gain a little bit of momentum going through there, the Daytona, after Daytona in Supercross. It seems like he accelerates a little bit more in motocross. Being outdoors, obviously we all know he grew up as a woods racer, GNCC, all that. He was recently got a 1-year extension on his contract through KTM. So like I mentioned in the 250s with Levi Kitchen, doesn't have to worry about his next year's ride. He's already got all that figured out. And I think one big thing that will help Aaron Plessinger, which I'm sure everybody thinks about this, he's got them long legs that will help big time in roller sections and deep ruts. He'll be able to maneuver all that in the elements. The long legs will definitely help Aaron Plessinger out big time. Now with everybody coming back, as much as I hate to say it, I love Aaron Plessinger just as much as the next guy, but I don't foresee him getting third place in the championship again. I just really don't. With Tomac and Jett, and I mean Hunter Lawrence finished second last year, yes. And then we got a new guy, Jorge Prado, who will be the next person I talk about. I think they might throw a little wrinkle in the plan of the cowboy. So, like I mentioned, Jorge Prado, we are getting into the others section. 2-time MXGP champion. It's going to be his first pro motocross season. My big thing with Jorge Prado, how fast can he learn the tracks? We saw the last guy who came over from Europe to race in the States, Tom Vielle. Seemed like it took him a little bit to learn tracks and get used to the AMA schedule where everything's in one day and not 2 days. Even Tom Vielle admitted that. That is the big crutch I have on Jorge Prado. If he can find a track where it seems like he just gels with from the first practice or first qualifying, then I think there's a chance that he can go out there and win. I mean, just predicting way down the line, I think there's a pretty solid chance Jorge Prado goes out there and shows all these boys how to do it in Southwick. Tom Vielle got his first win in Southwick in 23. I don't see any reason Jorge Prado can't go out there and get a win in Southwick. The sand, it's a little bit easier sand over here in the States than it is for the European riders. So I think the big thing with Jorge Prado, how fast can he learn the tracks? Coming off of a broken collarbone, how is that feeling? And I know in the middle section of the schedule, there is always just a bunch of tough tracks that can beat you up, and they'll always take a break after that tough stretch. And all the riders always say how much they're looking forward to that break after going through those tracks. Can Jorge Prado and his collarbone survive and make it through that tough middle stretch? I hope so, because I was looking forward to seeing him in Supercross. Didn't get to do that with the injury he sustained. Next guy, Cooper Webb. We'll go Cooper Webb. He's not the best outdoors, but he's a dog. He does not quit. We've seen this multiple times in Supercross, how he doesn't care, mainly when he's about 2-3 seconds back with the last couple laps. Supercross, that's pretty common. Not as common in outdoors, but still. He doesn't quit. We saw him go over to Europe, jump on a 250 for the Motocross of Nations, just because he had a bad taste in his mouth last time he was on a 250 in the Motocross of Nations. So he will do anything it takes. We saw just how that championship went down in Supercross against Chase Sexton. I went from 15 points all the way down to 9 points. And then ended up winning it by 2 points. So Cooper Webb will not give up. He's got that Yamaha bike. I talked about it a lot in the 250s. He's got that Yamaha bike on his side. So there's a good chance he can go out there, pull a couple starts, maybe run up front. I know after his Supercross championship in the press conference, someone tried to ask him about outdoors, and his exact words were, I don't give a damn about outdoors, or I don't give a shit about outdoors, whatever it is. He just won a championship. And then a couple days later, he posted on his Instagram saying outdoor prep started. So obviously, he gives a damn about outdoors. I think my last guy here for the 450s, before we get into just a couple quick, well, first, Jason Anderson, supposedly he will be back. He had to step away due to some family issues in Supercross. So hopefully he will be back full time now going into outdoors. And now my last guy, RJ Hampshire. I don't have a lot on him. It's his first full 450 outdoor motocross season. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he does. In my notes, I have could do something dumb. Simply just based on what we have all watched with RJ Hampshire, there's a chance he does something dumb, goes out there, 10th place, still racing for a win, and then just blows right through a rut because he's trying to be too aggressive. Yeah, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure why I put his name down, but I did. I think he's going to bring a lot of spice to this 450 class. Maybe mix it up with Justin Barsha, a little Bam Bam action, and maybe Jason Anderson. We all know he's got a pretty quick fuse on him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how RJ Hampshire will slide into this 450 class. So now we have prediction time. This is my problem because, well, to be honest, I wrote Chase Sexton down. But after talking about Chase Sexton and how he's got a Lawrence problem, I don't know if I can confidently say Chase Sexton will be your back-to-back 450 champion. I did the back-to-back thing already with the 250s. I think Sexton's got a much bigger hill to climb to be back-to-back champion than Hayden Deegan has. So if I could make two predictions, it would be Chase Sexton and Jet Lawrence. But I can't. I can only make one prediction. And now I'm just trying to stall until my brain can tell me exactly who I think it'll be. But I wrote down Chase Sexton as my 450 champion for a reason. I'm putting all my chips in the basket. We are going 250 and 450 back-to-back champions with Hayden Deegan and Chase Sexton on his farewell motocross ride on a KTM. Yeah, that's what we're rocking with. That's what I believe in. A little bit, not really, but we're going with that. Chase Sexton, mark it down, start chiseling it in stone, and that's my champion. And also, that is my Pro Motocross preview show. I cannot wait to watch the motos this upcoming Sunday. I won't be able to watch them Saturday. We'll be flying home Saturday. So very excited to watch them Sunday and start talking pro motocross. I get excited for motocross. Last couple rounds of supercross, it's when the motocross itch starts happening. I don't really get the same when it comes to SMX, but I don't think it's really a true championship anyway. So motocross preview. I think we're about done here. Talking underscore moto on X. Get a follow, like, subscribe to all this. Rating 5-star. Hopefully, I think you can do that. Hell if I know. We will be back next week talking round one. Oh, my wrist just cracked. Talking round one at Fox Raceway of the motocross season. Who knows? Maybe we will see another undefeated season this year. That would be pretty cool, especially if it's one of the guys I predicted to win it all. So, like I said, talking underscore moto on X. Go give it a follow, like, comment. Let me know what you think. And we'll be back next week. See ya.